Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my precious brothers and sisters. Grace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are finishing up our series on Deborah, a mother in Israel. Our scripture text is Judges chapter 5, verse 7. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. Heavenly Father, come to you yet again, leaning on your wisdom, leaning on your knowledge, kneeling on your great love towards us. We lean on you, Heavenly Father. We lean on you, Jesus. We lean on you, Holy Spirit. We lean on you for strength. We lean on you for all that we need. We need you right now, Lord. We need you in this last lesson as we wrap up this series, as you open the scriptures to us. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Encourage the mothers who are listening to this series. Let them know that their labor is not in vain. Their labor is not in vain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Today we want to look at mothers who are what? Well, they're to be role models. Role models in what capacity? Well, they're role model nurturers. What's a nurturer? A person who nurtures. A nurturer is a person who nurtures. What does it mean to nurture? Nurture. What does that word mean? It means to rear somebody up, to raise something, to provide child care, training, education. Look at this. Again, nurture, to nurture. We need nurturers in the church. Nurturers, people who can spiritually rear others. Raise up others. You know, the Bible says here in the text that Deborah arose. She arose. Could it be that a nurturer also teaches others how to rise up? How to emulate? You know, someone who arose can teach others. You too can do this in the Lord. You too can do it. A nurturer is someone who does what? Again, a person who promotes, stimulates, fosters, cultivates growth. Let's repeat those again. A nurturer, someone who nurtures. They promote, stimulate, they foster, they cultivate. They encourage growing up. That's what they do. That's what they do. We need nurturers in the church. I'm here today because I had nurturers. Someone who can take care of you, look after you, tend to you, rear you, raise you, support you, parent you, mother you. Nurturers. How vital they are. How important they are. Well, let's look at this in the life of Timothy. I would suggest, based on the text, and a lot of times we read the Bible and we're just reading through and we don't pay any mind to what the Bible is saying. I would say, listen to me, saints. I would say that if a young boy is two women deep in his life, he'll be somebody. What do I mean by that? Listen, to make it in life, to make it in this tough world, to make it in this evil world, you're going to need two mothers. You're going to need your grandmother, and you're going to need your mother. Grandmothers, listen to me. Don't vacate your role as a nurturer, because your grandchildren have their mother. It's not enough. It's not enough. Every young boy, every young girl needs two mothers. Two. In fact, we could say three. And let me explain. But first, let me go to the scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes, "When I recall to remembrance the unfeigned faith that resides in you, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." Look at this. Paul says, Timothy, you have faith today. You are in the gospel today. You are in the church today. You are following God today. You are in the ministry today because you had a double dose of mothering. You had your grandmother who looked after you, and you had your mama who looked after you. You needed a double dose of mothering, a double dose of nurturing, a double dose of what? Having someone look after you, tend to you, raise you, rear you, support you, encourage you, stimulate you, develop you, assist you, help you, strengthen you, and fuel you, nurturing. No one makes it in life without mama and without grandmother. And since you only have one mother, realize you have two grandmothers. You have your mother's, your father's mother, and your mother's mother. You, in essence, a man, a child, a woman would be blessed if he had three mothers, God-given mothers, three. Your mom's mom, your dad's mom, and then your mom. Three mothers. Three. Three to help you. Three to encourage you. Three to cheer you on. Three to scold you. Three to rebuke you when needed. Three to take you to the woodshed and apply the rod when needed. Three. Three. God knows I could have used five, six, seven, but life doesn't give you five, six, seven. You get three. In my case, I never met my father's mother. She died in childbirth. So I had three. God gave me three, but I only availed myself of two because only two were alive. And then my mother died when I was 13, so it was all grandma from then on. It was all grandma, my Pentecostal grandma. What a job she did. So you need nurturers. These nurturers must be teachers. They must be teachers. What are they going to teach you? They're going to teach you the most important commandment. The most important commandment is you have to love God. Teach your children to love God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their being. That's Matthew 22:37. Teach. Not just math, not just English, not just social studies. Not just teach them how to fish or teach them how to cook or teach them how to milk a goat or how to make cheese. Those things are important. Those things are essential. But the highest level of teaching is to point a child towards God. Teach them to love God with everything within them. Teach them. What else should we teach our children? To love their neighbors. To respect their neighbors. To be neighborly in a godly way. That's Matthew 22:39. Think about what you're going to, think about this. If you teach your grandchildren and your children, if we in Sunday school, think about this, those of us who have an opportunity to impact children, why do those parents hand those children to us? Well, so that we can teach them the commandments of the Lord Jesus. What's the commandment? To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Teach them that. You know, I've never had a shortage of friends. Never. Why? Because I've loved my neighbors. My neighbors are in trouble. I'm there for them. They can count on me. They're in trouble. I'll be there. If I'm the only neighbor there, that's okay. I'll be there. Teach your children to love their neighbors. I ride up and down the countryside here in St. Johnsville, and I can just see how neighbor loves neighbor. I can just see it. How as they drive by, they wave at each other, hello. They know each other. They got each other's back. When one goes on vacation, all the other neighbors make sure they keep their eye on the property to make sure that there's nothing out of place. Neighbor watching after neighbor. Neighbor watching after neighbor's property. Neighbor, there for neighbor in the time of trouble. Love your neighbor. Love God. Also, what should godly grandmothers and mothers do? Impart wisdom. Impart wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, first we want to impart godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Wisdom is the knowledge you need to apply to everyday life. You see, knowledge is the knowledge. When you speak of knowledge, head knowledge, book knowledge, knowledge is the accumulation of information. Your grandchildren and your children go to school to gain knowledge in the sciences, math, astronomy, the science pertaining to the solar system, chemistry. They sit in their English class. They sit in their history class. They're gaining knowledge. Knowledge is being imparted. Information is being inside of their coconuts, inside their brains. But none of that is good if you don't know how to apply it to everyday life. You see, you need to give them wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. The application. Most people are failing because they don't have wisdom. They have a lot of head knowledge. They have a lot of information. They can spit out data. They can give you information. They can tell you about this composer, and they can tell you, and they can spit out information about who Einstein was and what did he discover, and they have all of this head knowledge. They can tell you about the Civil War, the South and the North, and who started what, and when did the war start, and what triggered it, and what brought the war to an end, and which side won. They got all this knowledge. They can tell you about the stock market. They can tell you about bonds. They can talk to you about dividends till the cows come home. But when it comes to everyday living, they're a failure. Why? They don't know how to apply knowledge. They don't know how to apply scripture to everyday living. In part, wisdom. What are you teaching your kids? You're teaching your kids to love God above everything else, and then to love their neighbors as themselves, and to love wisdom, to love godly wisdom. See, we need teachers. We need mothers and grandmothers who can teach us about how to be merciful. Mercy. Merciful. Forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness go together. People who are not merciful never forgive. Mercy and forgiveness are twins. You see, when you're merciful, you're able to forgive. When you're not merciful, you hold a grudge. When you're not merciful, you want to take revenge. Mercy and forgiveness. How do I forgive others? How do I extend my love to them even when they have done me wrong? See, these are the things mothers need to teach. And then finally, teach your children humility. Humility. Let's go to Micah. Let's go to the book of Micah, the minor prophet Micah. We want to look at Micah 6, 8. Micah 6, 8. And we're getting there to Micah. Good old the prophet Micah. The prophet Micah 6, 8. Notice what Micah says. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. See, you got to teach your children and your grandchildren. Children, grandchildren, this is what the Lord requires of thee. What is that, grandmother? What is that, mama? One, God expects you to do justly, to do the right thing all the time. That's what God expects. Do the right thing all the time, son. Do the right thing all the time, daughter, and you'll never go wrong. Number two, and to love mercy. Oh, you should have a big heart for everybody. You should be one who can easily forgive. Who can easily erase other people's transgressions from your mind. Love mercy. Be merciful. Don't be one of those types of people that when people are caught in sin, you're the first one to stone them. Don't be self-righteous. Love mercy. So do the right thing all the time. Be merciful as God is merciful. And to walk humbly with thy God. Be humble. See, these are things we have to teach. Mothers, listen to me. Timothy was such an outstanding young man. Why? Because he had a grandmother named Lois and a mother named Eunice. He had two mothers working on him, two mothers polishing him up, two mothers educating him, two mothers imparting wisdom, two mothers nurturing him, two mothers praying for him. Mothers need to be intercessors. How many times did I come home late at night? I would say to myself, I know mama's up. I know, because she would tell us, come home early. Children, come home early. Especially on a Saturday night. She says, come home early because we're going to church the next day. How many times did I stay out till 2 or 3 in the morning? And I would say to myself, when you put the key in the door, walk in quietly, make sure you don't wake up mama. And I would put the key in the door. And I would look, and right at the entrance, there was Mama on her knees. And she would get up, and she would tell me, what did I tell you? Didn't I tell you to come home early? Well, Mama, I told you to go to bed. Mama, you shouldn't have been up. No, I can't go up. You rascals, I don't know what you're doing out there. You have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and I'm praying for you. And I'm making sure you come home that nothing happens to my baby. And I was way taller than her. And I would feel so guilty. So guilty that I kept elderly woman up. She would not go to bed till I got home. Did I learn? No, I kept doing it. I kept doing it until one day God got a hold of my heart and changed me. For good. But you see, I had an interceding grandmother. My mother had died years before. So I was down to one mama, one. But she prayed. And she instructed, she taught, and she nurtured. She nurtured. You know, we need mothers today. Why? Look at the high rate of drug use among young people. Young people, this society of young people they're addicted to drugs. Look at the high rate of teen suicide. A high rate of drug use, a high rate of teen suicide, a high rate of teen pregnancy, and a high rate of gender confusion. Let's go over those. Why do we need mothers in the church today? Why do we need special ministries to young people today that flows from mothers? Why? Epidemic drug use among teenagers. High rate of teen suicide. High rate of teen pregnancy. And a high rate of gender confusion. We send our kids to school, and the teachers, the secular teachers in the public school, are confusing our teachers, our children, with their gender gibberish. Mothers of the church, I say, arise. Arise like Deborah. Place. Do not cede one child to the enemy. Fight for their souls. Pray for their souls. Teach them, nurture them, inspire them. They need you. The church needs you. America needs you. Mothers, arise. Take your place in the kingdom of God. Don't let anyone lie to you and say, you are not needed. You are needed today more than ever. So as the text says, Deborah arose, you arise and do your bid for God, church, and country. God bless you.
Thank you. joyful wings.